Well, hello everybody, this is Toby Miller again, Chief Operating Officer for NATMA, and welcome to this special bonus call today. Today our special guest is Jeff Cole, and Jeff is actually in the industry, which is interesting. We've actually sort of brought him into the martial arts industry, but he's one of the leading experts in all things financial, all things payments. And we're going to be talking today a little bit about some of the new things that are happening in the market, especially since the recession. There have been all sorts of, you know, movement and changes in the way credit cards are processed, the way recurring payments are handled in martial arts schools, the way high ticket items are processed. So there's been a lot of movement in that part of the world. You know, as the economy got more challenging and credit card companies changed their policies and banks changed policies and things like that. So we're really going to go through a really thorough outline of how all that stuff works today, and specifically how it applies to you and your martial arts school. And listen, everybody, just listen very closely. This is very, very important for you. There are things happening behind the scenes that you don't see every day when it comes to collecting your tuition payments, processing payments at your front desk. There are things happening that you cannot see that are a big deal, right? And things can go badly very quickly, and we're sort of preempting all of that. So pay particular attention today. So first of all, Jeff, thanks so much for taking the time today. I'm glad you're able to block some time out of your schedule and help our school owners with some of these challenges.
Yeah, you're very welcome, Toby. It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I think probably the best way for us to start is, and I hesitate to say this slightly, but I think it's a good idea if we give everybody sort of a baseline of understanding of actually how credit card processing, credit card payments actually work. Now, in a martial arts school, probably, 75 to 80, maybe even 99% of your payments, whether it's monthly tuition, recurring monthly tuition payments, or someone who wants to register for an examination or a tournament or something like that, are going to be processed either by credit card or ACH, EFT, and they're going to go through this sort of interchange process. And I think that, most schools are taking, checks and cash at the front desk very rarely, right? Mostly we're processing payment electronically. So maybe you could just sort of give everybody kind of an outline. There are like five different players whenever you swipe a credit card, and each one of them, is getting paid, and, there are all sorts of these moving parts that it takes just to process a credit card payment. And just for sort of a sense of framing, can you walk through that with everybody so that it really kind of understands what's happening?
Yeah, absolutely. So essentially, when you, the merchant, establish, an account to process credit cards and you run a transaction, here are the major players that are involved. Number one, you actually have what's called PCI, which is the payment card industry. So that's Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and Discover. So when you run a transaction through the terminal or through your online billing, it essentially goes through what's called interchange. So that's the payment card industry. So that's Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and Discover. They're actually allowing that transaction to happen. There's a set of checks and balances, and they allow it to happen. So that's player number one. And the bulk of your fees actually go to Visa and MasterCard, American Express and Discover. Then the second player involved is what's called the issuing bank. The issuing bank means your customer received a credit card from an issuing bank. So a bank is buying that credit card. So whether it's a Southwest Airlines Visa card or a Capital One Rewards card, MasterCard, there's an issuing bank behind that card. So that's the second player involved, and they're getting a small portion of those fees. The third player involved, and who gets the smallest portion but actually handles all the risk, is your processor. That's the person who actually takes the transaction, puts it through the interchange model, runs it past the issuing bank, takes the risk on the transaction, and settles it to your account. That's your processor. And that's the company you're most familiar with. When you run a transaction, you get your monthly merchant account statements. That's the processor. And they take the very smallest portion of the rates and fees that are charged in every transaction. So those are the primary three main players that are involved. When you do a check service or take an ACH, it's not necessarily going through interchange as much. It's going directly to the bank. So we're cutting out Visa and MasterCard, American Express and Discover, and there's a direct transaction between the processor and the bank, and that's called ACH or Automated Clearinghouse. So it works a little bit differently, and checks oftentimes are charged quite a bit less than a traditional credit or debit card transaction.
Right, exactly. So, and which, by the way, for all of our members, for everybody who is, regardless of how you're processing your billing, whether as far as monthly recurring tuition, obviously we're most leveraged when we do it with ACH. The collection rate typically is better, and certainly the fees are typically lower. You also don't have to deal with, you know, credit card numbers that expire, credit card expiry, things like that. So certainly most of our recommendations are, if you're taking recurring tuition, whether you're processing it yourself or whether you have a billing service provider, ACHs typically are more stable, right? Usually,
yeah.
Again, they're connected to a person's checking account, and, you know, it's typically a more stable thing, plus the fees are much lower.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but the thing with ACH is, although it does cost less, it's not a guarantee program. So for example, if you run the ACH, basically, it goes to the person's bank account or the client's bank account and tries to withdraw the fees. If the money isn't there, then the money's not there, and you're not going to get paid as a school owner. So there's really no risk involved from a processor side. We just basically facilitate a transaction. Where if it's a credit card or a debit card, you know, you have a certain amount of credit on those cards. So if you go to run the transaction, you're not really going into a bank account. You're going against a credit account, and that's why those transactions have a higher fee associated with it. But they're also guaranteed. You know, if the transaction goes through, that money's going directly to your checking account. So that's why there's different fees associated with ACH and credit and debit. But in the end, you know, if you're able to ACH account pretty regularly, then you're going to be saving quite a bit of money versus a credit card or a debit card. And of course, it also depends on how much you're being charged with the credit and the debit card, because you can get very competitive rates on your credit and your debit, which sometimes make it almost as cost-effective as taking an ACH transaction. It just depends on the rate you have.
Sure. Yeah, and again, just from an operational standpoint, I think, you know, most of us, and which, by the way, just from a technique standpoint, and Jeff, it's really, you know, useful having you on the call with this type of an activity. For example, I had a student who was enrolling in the school. And we have a particular leverage in our sales transactions as a martial arts school where many other merchants don't have, right? The relationship that we create with the student is much different and much more robust than, you know, someone who sells ice cream cones on the corner or, you know, who sells clothes at a clothing store, something like that. We're sitting down having a heart-to-heart conversation with someone about enrolling themselves or a child in our program. And we have enormous flexibility and leverage to utilize on that transaction. So, you know, some of the techniques that I know we recommend certainly and that you would have the statistical analysis on is, you know, I would rather have someone pay by ACH or by checking account than I would a credit card. I would also rather have someone give me you know, obviously a debit card, you know, it goes to their account, plus it's guaranteed, you know, with a credit limit, than just a regular credit card. And then on top of that, I would rather have, just for fees' sake, I might rather have a Visa or MasterCard rather than Amex or something like that. So what would you say about that? What would that matrix look like for you? What would you recommend if I were a school owner, sort of my order of priority would be when it comes to the, you know, the fee structure and also the, you know, the likelihood of the funding source being good?
Well, you know, with the funding source being good, so it's, there's two ways to answer the question. You know, from the fee structure, obviously ACHing the account and or using a debit card with a very good rate is the best way to go. That's always going to be at a credit card rate. But so that's from the fee structure. But from a funding source to guarantee it, that's the opposite, and that's going to be your credit card, you know, because it's going against the credit. However, like you just stated, you know, you have a very good relationship with your clients. You know, they're a trusted source, so how often is an ACH going to decline? You know, not very often. So, you know, in the end, you're really, you know, better positioning yourself from a cost perspective to set the account up to ACH your clients, to ACH your clients every month for that recurring billing.
And, yeah, and that's absolutely.
Yeah, but a lot of times clients are also going to ask you if they can use their credit card because they get airline miles points and cash back. They get those rewards points, which they want. You know, or sometimes money's just been in their checking account and they don't want to be, you know, if you go to draft the account and they don't have the money in it, then they're going to be charged with an overdraft fee. So that's a strong reason why people like to use their credit cards, which is why they exist in the first place, things of that nature, to extend credit.
Absolutely. Well, and really, in the day-to-day operations of a much larger school, probably, I mean, if you were to look, for example, like at a franchise organization, probably 70, maybe 75% of all the recurring tuition is by ACH, maybe about 20, 25% by credit card. But with daily transactions, it's mostly the opposite. You know, someone who comes in and buys a uniform or buys a set of sparring pads or something like that,
right.
Mostly they're just swiping their credit card at the terminal, you know, no big deal, done deal. So let's transition into that. I think that's really where we want to spend most of our time today. I just kind of wanted to give everybody sort of the strategic outlook on that as you're sitting down with a client doing a membership agreement. I think that would be the order of priority that you would want to look at these things when you consider the fee structures involved and things like that. So let's talk a little bit about credit card processing just in general, because again, we're going to have a certain percentage of that, you know, for our monthly tuition, and almost all of our retail, you know, is going to be with that type of a, you know, swipe here type of a situation. And there's an awful lot of clutter out there right now with these, you know, different applications and things you can plug into your iPhone and, you know, all sorts of different, you know, sort of solutions for that. Let's just kind of start at the beginning. We know how many players are kind of involved in that. You know, perhaps we should kind of start with, you know, how PCI compliance works and all that sort of stuff. You know, what the particular advantages of us being, you know, sort of the processing these credit cards directly ourselves rather than using one of these outsourced activities. What resources.
Right.
What's the benefit and advantage of that?
Yeah, and this is, there's a lot of advantages to it. You know, there's advantages to both, but the advent of technology, you know, and how you can integrate in your day-to-day business now, it really is a great equalizer, you know, to billing companies. Because you can, you know, you take your customers' credit card data. Now, this is, I'm speaking to recurring billing specifically. But you can take your customer's credit card data, you can plug it into a system, and it will do the recurring billing for you. And then there's tools on the back end that can help you, you know, for example, if the credit card is declined or if it's expired, there's tools in the technology in the recurring billing system that allows you to easily go out and contact the client to update that credit card information. So basically technology now is a great equalizer where, you know, there's a lot of great do-it-yourself solutions, which in the end will save you quite a bit of money from a traditional billing solution. Then if you transfer it to the front of the shop at the point of sale, you know, most karate studios, or many I should say, have a retail terminal separate from their back-end recurring billing. And it's good to have that for a couple of reasons. Number one, let's just talk about pure cost. You don't want to run those sign-ups. You don't want to run those sign-ups through your traditional back-end recurring billing. You want to take that credit card and you want to swipe it at the point of sale because you're going to get a lower rate. You know, a recurring billing solution could be 3, 5, 7% sometimes, or a normal credit card solution at the point of sale, you know, it could be 2 or 3%. So there's a huge money savings factor. Number two,
Which, by the way, don't skip over that too quickly, Jeff. That is one of the problems that we have in our industry, is that there are there's a cottage industry built around processing recurring payments. And our recommendation has been for many years for schools to try to outsource as much of the billing and collections as they can. However, I guess perhaps a strong caveat to that is, you know, any payment that you process directly at the location, you know, why on earth would you be paying a third party, you know, a billing collection company, a percentage of that transaction? I mean, you know, you made the sale, right? You know, you created the opportunity and the revenue. There are some, you know, organizations out there who, you know, regardless of where the payment occurs, or regardless of, you know, again, this initiation fee or whatever the case is for starting membership, you know, I just don't think it doesn't make sense to incur additional fees on that when you wouldn't have to.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. You know, there's a saying, you earned it, keep more of it. And,
sure.
And technology really allows for you to do that. It's really quite simple now. And especially at the front of the house, whether it's a traditional credit card terminal or it's an application on your smartphone, it's just so easy to accept a payment. It's so efficient that, you know, anybody can really do it. It's not hard to train on it. It's very simple. And you're already doing it now. So it's important to kind of, from a cost perspective and to maximize, you know, how much money you're earning, it's important to have those two things divided. You know, if you have recurring billing, you don't want to have that at the front of the house when you're doing that point-of-sale transaction. It, in the end, if you can save 20 to 30% or 40% on a transaction, it means a lot at the end of the year. Oftentimes, we save clients, you know, it's not uncommon to save someone $5,000, $7,000, $10,000 a year in their processing fees. It really is that impactful.
Yeah, and again, in most cases, that's basically just where you're swiping in the terminal. This isn't mostly even recurring billing in a lot of cases. So that's a big deal. Let's dig into that a little bit. You know, the part of this I think that's very, very useful and very impactful for all of our school owners, all of our members, and, you know, anyone really in the martial arts industry, is that we basically found, you know, you. We basically sort of, you know, found Jeff and his company to solve a couple problems. And there are a few issues, there are a few sort of unique intricacies about operating a very successful, highly profitable martial arts school that are challenging for the payment card industry. We had a hard time finding processors that really understood the martial arts business. So we found you guys and really sort of, for lack of a better description, taught you our business, right? Sort of kind of showed you how the martial arts school works, what the risks were, what the rewards were, you know, how the sort of overarching structure of the whole business works. And you basically took it directly to your underwriting and risk management department, and we've created a relationship with all those folks. So now we really have a very robust, you know, everybody at the table has a very robust understanding of how martial arts school works. And there were two fundamental big challenges. Number one fundamental big challenge was, and I guess you could probably put them in a better order than I could, but we had high ticket challenges where if you have a traditional merchant account, you know, set up at your credit card terminal, again, this is sort of on the side of the coin of you have a credit card terminal sitting at your front counter that mostly you're running, you know, $100 transactions with, right? You're doing, you know, somebody buys a uniform and you swipe their credit card. Somebody buys a mouthpiece or a set of sparring gear or whatever the case is, and you're running their credit card point of sale, basically, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps down payments for memberships, a couple, $300-$400, right? But then you do a paid in full leadership program or a paid in full black belt club or a paid in full leadership program, and that can be, you know, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000, $15,000. And when, you know, as the economy got challenging and banks and credit card companies started changing policies about things, even prior to that, we had an awful lot of schools who would, again, the typical day-to-day usage of their credit card terminal was for the retail items I just described, then would try to run a paid-in-full, you know, master club or leadership program, and their account would get frozen, you know, basically freeze up, you know?
Yeah.
Risk management said, oh my God, your average daily transaction total is, you know, $200. Now all of a sudden you're trying to run a, you know, a $10,000, an $8,000 program, and basically seized up. And I'll tell everybody, you know, sort of confidentially behind the scenes, I'll say confidentially, but behind the scenes, one of the things that catalyzed us going out and looking for a solution, someone who we could really teach the martial arts business, was frankly NAPMA. When Master Oliver acquired the company, we transitioned accounts and transitioned to merchant providers and things like that, and one of our merchant account providers literally just seized up and froze about, I think about $130,000 in tuition, you know, due to NAPMA,
right.
because of the situation I'm just describing. The average transaction size wasn't established, you know, it was a different sort of a setup, so everything just sort of, you know, locked up. So describe how that works through risk management, what people have to be kind of looking for, why does that happen, what's the deal, and you know, what kind of solutions do we have?
Yeah, so basically, you know, what happened is when the economy went in the tank and we had our recession, you know, several years ago, the processing industry went through a transformation, a really big transformation. You know, before it was very easy to get a merchant account. You know, companies were approving 90%, 95% of anybody, you know, any business wanting a merchant account, you would get approved. You know, the good times were rolling. But then when the recession hit, you know, the risk started to go up. And now all of a sudden companies, processors are only approving 50% of the accounts or 60% of the accounts. It was really hard to get a merchant account. So not only was it hard to get a new merchant account, but processors really started adjusting their books of business. And they changed protocols. And so what happened is those companies that were already processing, all of a sudden, they couldn't process as much. They were changing the rules. So you're now deemed a higher risk account, for an example, or you were being able to process up to $10,000. We're going to cut that in half to $5,000. You know, so much like credit card companies were adjusting consumers' credit cards up and down, merchant account companies were also doing that so they can properly manage their risk. Specifically, however, to karate studios, martial arts studios, it really impacted their paid in full transactions, where, you know, you get a client that wants to, you know, sign up for a year or sign up for 2 years or even sign up for 6 months, and you're going to run a $2,000 ticket or a $5,000, $10,000 ticket, where you were able to do that before, in many cases, you were no longer able to do that. And here's how it gets frustrating. Your credit card your processor really didn't come out and tell you you weren't going to be able to do this anymore. What happens is you would run the transaction. This is kind of what happened with NAPMA and some other examples, but you would run your transaction as normal. If the credit card will take that $10,000 ticket, then it's going to go through. The processor will process it. But what happens is that transaction now gets flagged on the back end because they readjusted risk. And it gets put on hold, and it freezes the rest of your account. So you now run the ticket. The client is expecting to begin the classes, and you're expecting as the merchant or the karate school owner to get the funds deposited to your bank account. But your processor says, no, we're actually going to put that money on hold right now. And then you reach out to them and try to figure out why, and they say, well, you know, we've changed our risk. We're no longer allowing that to happen. And then, okay, so the owner says, well, what do I do? And a lot of times what you have to do is you have to refund the client. You have to take that $10,000 and refund them and ask them for a check. You know, and your client will probably do that, but it's a hassle. You don't want to have to do it, and you want to just basically stay focused on running your business.
That can kill deals. I mean, there's no question about it. Some people are going to put that on a credit card, because they would rather pay back the credit card company over a year or 2 years rather than pay, you know, and in most cases, that's how we present that. We do a credit card close for paid in full, and part of the logic behind someone doing, you know, someone putting it on a credit card is typically that we can show them on paper how if we process it through our traditional billing solution, it costs them more money over time, and they can save that money. You know, with a credit card transaction, pay the credit card company back over time. So it definitely kills deals. I mean, there's no question about it, and it's a big shift. I mean, you know, if you're doing, you know, again, if I were to take a look at like a franchise model, for example, you know, if we do maybe three or four, you know, $10,000 paid in fulls a month, Well, I mean, that's a pretty big, you know, that's three-quarters of, a third of $1 million over a year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty significant. If these things start going bad, it makes a pretty significant impact on revenue pretty quickly.
Yeah, it is meaningful. And again, so they'll hold the money, they'll freeze your account, and in some cases, they'll just cancel the account. They'll just deem you too high risk, and there's been cases where they just actually turned accounts off. And that's because, again, processors are just dealing with risk differently, and your business gets categorized, into their entire portfolio.
Yeah. So, and again, Jeff, just to reiterate this again, it's an entertaining story for everybody. But again, our story with NatMo was, again, consider this for just a moment. You just acquired a new company, right? You just acquired a new business. And you're basically starting at, for lack of a better description, your bank account is starting at zero. I mean, for lack of a better description, you've just made the acquisition. You're moving in fresh and clean, right? You start on, let's say, the first of the month. You now own this company, and you're expecting, by the third of the month, $120,000 in revenue, and then by the tenth of the month, another, a couple hundred thousand or whatever. But, so now you're sitting there watching the bank account and nothing is hitting it, and you're saying, well, wait a minute, what happened, And like you said, the credit card company didn't bother, or the processor didn't bother to, inform you, hey, we've got your thing on reserve.
Right.
It can be pretty painful pretty quickly.
And it happens very quickly. If you're expecting that money in two business days and all of a sudden it's frozen, there's a whole chain of events that happen, and it is painful. We hear it. We've heard it quite a bit, so it's very real.
So let's kind of keep moving then. Again, we're describing one of the challenges that we have now in the new economy, and this is a moving target, by the way. One of the things that we work with Jeff on very frequently, just for everyone listening, is that he's always in touch with what's happening in this part of the market, and he's always kind of informing us and our members about, hey, this high ticket risk management, process has changed slightly. Here's how we want to adjust to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's two ways to talk about this as well, Jeff. From a, again, sort of surrounding this high ticket problem that we have, number one is we have to have, obviously, a solution that understands these high tickets. Second is there's also a problem with chargebacks. So let's stay with understanding the high ticket first. Let's kind of thoroughly explore that before we move into, how to solve the chargeback issue.
Yeah. So with the high ticket specifically, what we've been able to create for Martial Arts Studios is basically we created a sub-business within our business. We went to underwriting and risk, and we said, listen, we're starting to hear a lot of karate studios are getting shut down, or funds are being put on hold because of high tickets they need to run. I said, we know the businesses are good. We know they're trusted. We know it's their clients aren't going to be doing, chargebacks, at all or if any. So why don't we create a sub-business in our business and create just a unique portfolio for karate studios? And we basically agreed to do it. And as a result, in this portfolio, we only put karate studios in there. And as a result of this, we have a special underwriter and a special risk team that's signed to it, and we are able to allow karate studios now to do their high tickets again because of their own unique portfolio. You're not mingled in with anybody else. And truth is, we haven't had any chargebacks occur within that portfolio in the last 3 years. And that's just how that speaks to the quality of your businesses, of the karate studios and the quality of your clients. And I'm glad we were able to do that because other processors just weren't doing it. They weren't willing to take the extra step to create, the sub-business within the business. And so now what happens is when we have a karate studio sign up with us, we obviously put them in that portfolio. We get really specific about their business. We learn about their needs. And we basically do all the setup ahead of time so that you don't run into any problems in the future. You don't run into these issues. We take care of it all on the front end. And it's very successful.
Yeah. So basically, for lack of a better description, what we've kind of done working with Jeff and his team over there is we basically sort of use the law of, volume, right? So, you know, we've been able to move a chunk of the martial arts industry through this type of a system so that now they have great confidence in how the business models work. And they also have, and the risk departments have great confidence in how sort of stable that piece of the business is. So all of our members now have sort of this advantage of being able to leverage this opportunity that a business kind of on its own, a martial arts school just kind of out there on their own, wouldn't really have that advantage. So, and that advantage plays itself out in several different ways. One is the robustness of the solution on the back end, right? Meaning we have the ability to run these high-ticket items without problems. We have the ability to, you know, for the underwriters to understand how all this stuff works without, you know, creating more problems on the back end. The other piece of it, I think, on that particular part is you and your team have a really good relationship with each school owner so that, you know, if, for example, I'm a martial arts school owner and I've got set up on the system and now all of a sudden I'm doing my very first, you know, I don't know, $10,000 deal or something like that, or maybe you're one of our high-end Inner Circle of former clients and you've discovered now that you can do, you know, $15,000 weekend seminars, you know, for people who are coming to the school or something like that, and they can just call you up and say, hey, listen, you know, I'm getting ready to run a $15,000 transaction, you know, have the guys look out for it, you know?
And they'll
kind of babysit it through the process. Can you describe quickly kind of how that works?
Yeah, actually, you described it perfectly. It's really just that. Our company is here to really assist in those high-ticket transactions. You know, we're, you know, you have your normal customer support, you would call, but then you have us, you know, as an additional layer to really kind of babysit and handhold the accounts. And what we do with each client is we say, okay, so when you're going to run a high ticket, just shoot me personally an email. Send me an email and say, hey, Jeff, we're going to run this high ticket. It's going to be for this amount for this client. I simply take the email, I forward it to our risk department and say, this is coming through just as a heads up. Please don't put it on hold. If you need any information, let me know. And that's the process in its entirety. And by doing that, it keeps everything above board and it really eliminates any problems. And we are able to pass through every high ticket. The transaction was going to go through in the beginning because we set your account up like that. But to take that extra step and really handhold it just to triple check and make sure everything is going to work out fine is the value add that we bring for it. Not only each client, but each client's transaction. So, you know, there's another layer to it. And it's been just wildly successful. And that's why, you know, the risk and the underwriting is just so confident with these business types, the martial arts studios and karate studios.
Yeah, a lot of the folks that we've been working with that we've had, you know, using the solutions, their kind of response to me on this has been, well, you know, whoever used to handle the stuff for me was, you know, some nameless, faceless thing somewhere, or I really don't know where, and, you know, there really was no kind of dialogue or level of communication between the two. And, you know, again, this isn't, you know, the whole model is set up appropriately to begin with, so there isn't much of a risk of a challenge anyway.
Right.
But, you know, we have a human being who knows how to babysit this thing through the process.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm always fearful, you know, like when it comes to a financial transaction, hoping the computers get it all right, you know? And I mean, it's useful, but, you know, to have somebody who can walk through the process is pretty important. So let's kind of keep moving. So the high-ticket item is definitely an issue. If you're going to do any level of paid in fulls at your school, or you're going to offer any level of sort of premium services, right? So, for example, a lot of our high-end members are doing, we've taught them how to, and we're helping them deliver the content of how to do, you know, high-end corporate executive training programs and things like that, where they're going to, you know, maybe have a weekend boot camp at their school, and they're having maybe 50 executives from IBM or from Google or from, you know, whatever, and they're coming in, and they might be paying, you know, $10,000 per person or $15,000 per person for this sort of weekend experience, this kind of, you know, immersive experience. Those types of transactions, we've got figured out, right? So we've got that nut cracked, and that was really a big issue for us, frankly, because, you know, a lot of the folks that we have that are performing at a very high level really have some pretty big opportunity in those types of programs. The second piece of it is there is a problem with how different states handle memberships and how that applies to paid in full. So there, one example is this. As the economy got, you know, again, sketchy again, and you'd be better to describe this, when someone did a paid in full for, let's say, a 2 or 3 or 4 year membership, describe to me, you know, sort of present and post problems with that when it comes to chargebacks. Someone who, you know, might, you know, I don't know, become irritated at some point along the way and try to charge back the credit card. Describe to me kind of how that used to look, how it looks now, and what that challenge was and how to solve it.
Well, you know, the challenges are still really quite the same in that, you know, if you were to do a paid in full, for example, and have a membership contract for, let's say, 3 years out or 4 years out, and you're providing the service, and let's say you're year number two of the service, and, you know, that, let's just say your client passes away as an example, or let's say your studio maybe shuts down, or, you know, just there's going to be some interference in the service where it's no longer being provided. So, you know, what could happen is that the customer could go to you, the martial arts school owner, and say, hey, we're no longer there, or we've moved, or this person passed away, we'd like a refund. So at that point, you know, you need to determine, you know, how you're going to facilitate that request. And what could happen is if it's not done the way that the customer likes, they could call their credit card company and issue a chargeback, you know, saying, well, I paid for 4 years of service, I only received two, I'm doing a chargeback on this transaction that was 2 years ago. And that's why processors really don't like doing paid in full agreements and paid in full contracts, because basically they're extended for that risk. A client can come back and do a chargeback. So that's the reason, the philosophy behind it.
Let me just sort of re-encompass that. So if I'm a martial arts school and I write a 36-month black belt club or something like that, let's say I enroll the student on a 36-month black belt club, and they choose to pay in full and they put on a credit card. So they pay the, you know, $8,000 on a credit card, and that student literally can and I'm going to go to the worst possible case scenario. With the new PCI compliance standards and the way that these underwriting looks at these things, that client can consume all 3 years of membership. They can go through the entire program. They can go all the way to black belt, graduate with their black belt, and even up to 12 months past that, 11 months, 28 days later, they could say, well, you know, I'm really kind of upset, and charge it back, right?
Yeah, they could.
And in most cases, by the way, how chargebacks typically work is underwriting, they will always sort of err on the side of the consumer. So in most cases, what happens is it's up to you to prove, you know, that you delivered the services and all this other stuff, which in some cases we can do. But you know, in most cases, the chargeback happens. They freeze that amount of funds in your account. And in most cases, reverse it, and then you have to prove otherwise, rather than the other way around. So kind of, I guess, just lay that out. I mean, that's kind of worst case scenario, but we have actually seen that happen in a few cases. So, you know, what's sort of the logic in that, and what are our solutions?
Yeah. So basically, you know, it's not cut and dry as to how long a customer has before they, you know, for them to issue a chargeback. You know, if they did a transaction, you know, a couple of years ago and they didn't receive all the service, they can call their credit card company up and they can kick and scream. That credit card company maybe will reluctantly say, okay, we'll initiate the chargeback process. And essentially what happens is when that credit card company initiates the process, they reach out to us, the processor, and then at that point we reach out to you, our client, the karate school owner, and we'll ask you to provide all the documentation about this particular client and the transaction. So you'll provide us with, you know, the agreement that they signed, the receipt, et cetera, and we'll evaluate it for you. We'll talk to you about it. And then we go back to the credit card company and fight it on your behalf. So that's the process. So how do you really protect yourself? How do you position yourself in the event that this is to happen? Well, you know, there's things that we do to help you, and I won't go into too much detail now, but you know, we'll help you write your agreements in such where you're protected. Your refund policy is a big deal. I mean, there is a certain onus on you, the school owner, you know, if, for example, you're no longer providing the service or perhaps there was a death or something like that, you know, in your refund or return policy, it's going to outline these certain things, which then would allow you to provide a refund at a certain amount. So, you know, there's a little bit of give and take, but we'll work with you to make sure that language is in there, you know, to get you protected in the event that it does happen. And it doesn't happen
And by the way, Jeff, that's exactly what I think part of the advantage of what we've done with you guys. Again, for lack of a better description and to oversimplify it, you know, through you and your team, we sort of taught you all, you know, the martial arts business from sort of a high level down. And so all of the things that we're structuring, that we structure for our franchise location, for our NAPMA member, you know, for our high level clients, are brought to bear for each and every client who sort of, you know, retains you, who uses your processes. And one of them is just what you described. We've discovered ways that are completely legally compliant, but not only legally compliant, but risk assessment, you know, your risk assessment department likes it.
Right.
And we can write these agreements in a way, in certain ways, so that it insulates you from this chargeback problem. And again, like you said, there's it's a completely ethical and honest way to structure these deals, but there's certain language and certain ways to structure the deal so that, you know, you don't have someone who consumes, you know, 3 years of the services and, you know, 11 months later gets upset about something or, you know, just decides that they would rather have that 10 grand back than for you to have it and make your life miserable. The other part of it is, under most circumstances, with most, you know, merchant accounts and things like that, if you're processing through your local bank or some other, you know, nameless, faceless, you know, company out there, you're on your own. You know, if a chargeback is initiated, they're going to fax you a document. You're going to have to try to, you know, go gather up some material, fax it back to some, you know, anonymous 800 number, hope that somebody takes a look at it before they click the button to give the person the money back, you know. And what you're describing is the opposite of that. It's, you know, a human being is going to walk you through the process.
Right.
This is a pretty big deal for a school. You know, again, if I'm a martial arts school and I'm doing, you know, $30,000 a month, a $10,000 chargeback is a third of the revenue.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, if you do run across an issue like this, you do want to have someone on your side to walk through the process. You do want to have that language already in place in the agreements to minimize your overall exposure. I mean, there is a science to all of this and a process to all of this. And if you're with another processor, you know, and this happens all the time, you know, you run a high ticket, let's say it just happens to go through, but then a chargeback happens, they're going to uncover that, number one, you ran a high ticket that they really didn't want you to run to begin with. Sometimes that'll happen, it'll just kind of get pushed through. But if they find out it was for extended, for services that were over the course of 12 months or 24 months, et cetera, they'll probably make you refund that whole transaction because they don't want to be liable for it. So they will side on behalf of the customer. The processor will side on behalf of the customer. And what happens is they'll trap that money from your account or they'll put your account on reserve. So a lot of times people will do these high tickets and they'll go through, but it can come back to bite them in many, many ways and shut down the account, put accounts on reserve, and a whole chain of events will happen that you just don't want to happen with your finances.
Yeah. And I know this might sound, you know, if I'm listening, if I'm a school owner, this might kind of sound like, oh, my God, the sky's falling. But, you know, that the reality is, and I'm not trying to, you know, scare anyone, but the reality is we've got, you know, many, many, many case studies of each of these occurrences happening. And the way to solve it is so easy, right? Or at least we've already sort of built the infrastructure to solve these issues, at least in, you know, for the most part. And the biggest challenge that most folks have is that their current merchant provider, whoever currently set them up with their merchant account or with their credit card terminal or whatever the case is usually their independent agents who are just kind of out there and they're paid on commission and all their objective is to sell the terminal, get the server set up, and they get $10 a month per customer or something like that, right?
Right.
And they really don't have a vested interest in the ongoing relationship with that customer. And you know, certainly we in our own locations dealt with it for many years, and through the sort of the collaborative clout of working with a lot of schools, sort of, you know, with you and your team, created a solution, right?
We created a solution to a problem. That's exactly correct.
Exactly. So yeah. we had these several problems. One was the chargeback. One was a high ticket item. The other one was the fees, and we'll talk about that in a minute. The other was the cost of the hardware, and another problem was that we wanted to be able to use more creative gift card processes and things like that. And again, everything that we've done to this point for all of our members and for all of our clients was creating a solution to all those problems where risk and underwriting understood everything, right? So that we were insulated from, you know, from some of these bad things happening. Let's talk about three quick case studies. And we have many, but there just happened to be three that popped to my mind. One was, and just for anybody listening on the call, if no matter who your processor is, okay, no matter who it is, just take my word for this, no matter who your credit card, your current processor, whether you're with a billing company, whether you're doing it, you know, just through your local bank, regardless of the case, no matter who your current processor is, what you should do is look through your current statement. Number one, these merchant statements are very difficult to read. They have hide stuff in them all over the place. And what you want to do is go to NAPMAValueBundle.com, and we'll give you some phone numbers here in a few minutes. But you go to NAPMAValueBundle.com, and you fill out the little form. Jeff and his team will contact you, and you can send them over one of your statements, and perhaps a couple of other documents, Jeff, I don't know. But you send them over one of the statements, and there's absolutely no cost or obligation involved in any of this stuff. This is a solution that we specifically created with four martial arts schools to solve the problems that martial arts school owners have. And in every case so far, Jeff, you might need to correct me on this, but in every case of every school owner, 100%, that have sent you over their statements and sort of their whole billing profile with their current merchant provider, you've been able to save the money, plus put them into this portfolio that the risk assessment department understands, PCI understands. Everybody understands this business now. Plus, you're saving them money. Is that accurate, or is that, have you found some places where you couldn't save some people money?
No, actually, we've saved every client money on average, and it's more than you might think. It's on average saving them 20% off their gross fees. So not only are we able to be, you know, have, you know, just very competitive, good pricing. But like Toby said, you're now getting the correct solution. So you save money with the better solution for your specific business of karate school. In every example, we're able to help out in that way, you know, save the money. And all you have to do is you would just send us a statement, and we just do a complimentary rate review. We'll look at your processing, we'll apply our rates to it, and you'll get an apples-to-apples comparison right down to the penny of how much you would save with our solution.
Yeah, and that tends to be the challenge with a lot of people in this part of the industry, in your industry, is that there are all sorts of kind of hidden fees here and there, and, you know, qualified cards and non-qualified cards and different rates for each thing, and there are a lot of moving parts. The baseline is basically just this. Is that, you know, this thing, there's no question about it, this thing will save you money. Plus, it's going to put you into the right solution that, you know, is going to help you with a high-ticket transaction, it's going to help you with, you know, the chargeback issue. Let's talk about two or three other items, too, I think, that are useful, and we have a couple of case studies. One was, we talked about these two items already, so we had Eric DeBarge, who is one of our high-level Inner Circle members, who had sort of the horror story we described earlier happen. Where he was, you know, processing just like, you know, no problems at all for years, and then ran a high-ticket leadership program, $8,000, I think, or something like that, and it basically, you know, froze his whole thing up, and it took months to get the process, you know, a couple of months to get the whole thing worked out. So again, it's, you know, this is a real scenario. It's not something that we made up. It's a solution to a problem that actually exists. A second case study I think is pretty interesting that I think you might want to address. Joe Barucki, one of our Inner Circle members, had you do a rape review. And through your discovery process, you actually found that he had another merchant account that he didn't know about set up for him through one of the major billing companies in the industry that he didn't really know about. Maybe describe that to me. How did that happen, and what was the result, and what was the how is it possible that he had an account somewhere that he didn't know of?
Yeah, so our industry, it's getting better, but it's been pretty seedy in the past. You know, it's kind of there's a lot of black marks in our industry because you have a lot of unscrupulous companies and sales reps out there, that are changing people's merchant accounts over, but not closing their merchant accounts and just charging fees for fees. And Joe kind of fell victim to that. So Joe came to us because he wanted to learn more about our solution and learn more about doing higher tickets and saving money, et cetera. So we did a complimentary rate review for Joe, and in the end, he decided he wanted to go ahead and make the change to us. So in the process of making that change and doing the diligence on the account, I found out, I researched his older accounts, and I found out that he actually had an account that was still open, but he didn't know about it. And in that account, there was $2,700 that had been frozen, I think, for like over a year. So he had $2,700 sitting in his own merchant account that he wasn't told about. And how it happened was his other solution before us basically switched his merchant account over to another solution. So his current provider switched him to another solution, and in doing so, they never transferred the other one and that other account to that new solution. So, basically it was just mismanagement of Joe's finances and of Joe's accounts. And that $2,700 got stuck there in limbo. And he trusted the company would take care of everything, as most people would, and he just didn't get a correct accounting on it. But luckily, we were able to find it for him. We got the money sent to him within a couple of days, and then we properly closed that account down, and of course now he's up and running with us now.
Yeah, and these things happen in our industry too. I wouldn't go so far as to say that there's some seediness when it comes to collections and payments, but I will say that there are a number of billing providers in the industry. There are lots of them, but there are a number of them who actually do this as a process, where they'll actually sign you up for a merchant account. I would imagine they get some piece of the deal. But they sign you up for a secondary merchant account that you may or may not know about, and some of your credit card transactions are processed through that merchant account. And again, this is something that's happening usually without your knowledge. I mean, it's not illegal per se, but it's something that you don't conceptualize, right? You don't kind of understand that there's this separate account set up out there with your name on it. And if you unplug from that billing provider or move or whatever the case is, that account in many cases is just still kind of sitting around out there. And again, in this particular case, Joe had probably changed the bank account at the same time, a routing number or something like that, and this money just sort of got stuck in limbo, and it was existing out there without his knowledge. Maybe a third example. Now, I think we have a lot of other things to talk about, and we're really running out of time pretty rapidly, but let's talk about a quick third example. One of the things that we really wanted to create a solution to was and I've had bank providers and merchant providers and things. I remember my first one, but I remember the first contract I did for the martial arts school part of the business, and I got the Hypercom T7P terminal, which I paid, I think, $979 for, right? And so that's the terminal that sits on your desk that you swipe the cards through, right? And at the time, I think I was buying, 10 or 11 of them or something like that for the multiple locations. And probably a $10,000 purchase. At that time, maybe that was even a reasonable deal. I don't know, right? I mean, I didn't have this level of understanding of the whole industry at the time. But one of the challenges that we wanted to solve for school owners is a lot of these upfront costs of the hardware. And technology has made things smaller, better, faster, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe describe really quickly kind of what our current solution is for all of that sort of stuff, sort of the hardware and all the stuff you have to make all this stuff work.
Yeah, so in the past in our industry, and it's actually still pretty common now, you know, merchant providers and processors, they make a lot of money off of equipment and terminals. So whether they sell it to you or they lease it to you, it's still pretty common and it's still a place where the money is made. Having said that, you know, we don't charge anybody for the terminals. We provide all of our terminals free. We want you to process with us. We get you a state-of-the-art equipment that's all PCI and data security compliant, and that's really all there is to it. So you always get free equipment with us. But speaking specifically to equipment, you know, there's so much different technology out there in how to process. You can have a point-of-sale, like full point-of-sale system with a cash drawer. You can have just a traditional credit card terminal, but a credit card terminal with a PIN pad, or a credit card terminal with a PIN pad and a check reader. And then you can have a dongle that plugs into your smartphone, and you can just swipe it. You know, there's products like Square out there, which, by the way, is not a good product for any real business doing, you know, any type of traditional volume.
Exactly.
But with all these different solutions out there, you know, like, what's the one you want to use? And in truth, you know, you can use a combination of all of them. But what we do is we really take the time to first just figure out, you know, what are your needs, you know, what are your actual needs, and we'll set you up with the right solution or the right equipment. And usually what that is pretty simple. It's, you know, a traditional credit card terminal at the point of sale. And then we set you up with some mobile applications for your smartphone. You know, so if you're on the road or, you know, whatever it might be, you can always process directly from that smartphone. And there's no additional cost to do that. It's all kind of part of the solution. So, you know, in a nutshell, we just basically learn about what you need, and then we provide what we think is the easiest and simplest solution.
Yeah, and which, by the way, for everybody listening, this is a big deal, because a lot of what we're doing, especially now in the family market, is belly-to-belly, you know, community marketing activities, where we're out in the community, we're at the fairs and carnivals and festivals and home shows and boat shows and, you know, gun shows and, you know, all sorts of things like that. And when you're remote like that, it's very useful to be able to process a transaction live on site. And in a lot of cases, we're doing like the introductory program sale right on site. You know, actually, I guess it'll be off site, but, you know, right in the community activity. So, for example, just it happens to be May, and or it's April right now, I guess. But we just had Easter. And we just had locations down here, actually all over the country, but, you know, the ones that I was kind of paying the closest attention to were down here in Florida, at all sorts of Easter egg hunts. And we did our kind of five-step lead generation process, and the fifth step is we make a sale. We sell them a little trial program, right, live on site. And we probably did, in one day, we probably did 150 transactions at I think we were at 11 different locations or something like that, or nine locations. Doing little Easter egg hunts and things like that. So that, the ability to be able to kind of process that stuff while you're remote, out in the road, out at these types of events, is very useful. And the whole sort of package of solutions that we've kind of created here is that you do it and you save money doing it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's the very definition of a win-win-win. The last thing, Jeff, I think, you know, the final kind of, I don't know, solution that we wanted to find, the thing that we wanted to create a solution for is, over the holiday season and a couple of other times of the year, we do renewal blitzes and we do, you know, special sales over the holidays and things like that. And one of the things that we always wanted to create a better solution for was sort of our gift certificate and gift cards and things like that. And in part, we have very frequently in our franchise locations and certainly in our higher level coaching clients, we very frequently have a third party family member who wants to invest in the training of a child or of a family, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you've got, you know, a grandma or aunt or uncle or something like that who loves what we're doing, loves the program, you know, really wants to have, you know, Johnny, you know, whatever, move to the next level or whatever the case is. Especially around the holiday season, we have a lot of interest in that. And we had always in the past sold kind of gift certificates and things like that. But we always wanted to have a better gift card solution. And you know, working with you and your team, we sort of have created sort of the highest leverage way to do all that. Can you kind of describe how that works and what the kind of functionality is when you look at things like gift cards and how that process works.
Yeah, so the gift cards are really nice. I mean, you know, you can display them at your point of sale. You know, so if you have someone come in to, you know, pick up their kid or to sign up for the first time and see the gift cards there in your business, they say, well, you know, this might be a nice gift, obviously, for, you know, somebody else they know. And they'll buy it right there on the spot. They're designed to be kind of impulse buys at the point of sale, and they really do accomplish that need. And the nice thing about the gift cards is we can brand them with your logo, or do a generic karate logo. It can have all your information. So it's not just a gift card, but it's also, you know, kind of a business card and a calling card and additional marketing piece. And it further just, you know, solidifies the, you know, the credibility of your business, you know, to your client. And when someone buys the gift cards, they can redeem them directly, you know, at the dojo, at the studio, and, you know, you can slide to the terminal, or there's some online virtual terminals that you can kind of track everything and process it through. It's all very easy to use. There's some back-end social media marketing that can go along with it that we offer. So it's not just a gift card per se, but it's a more robust solution that fulfills, you know, that utilizes all the technology out there, all the social media out there to kind of push it and help you get it out there and make the most of it. And they're very cost-effective. They really don't cost too much, and it's a nice add-on for any business.
Yeah, and certainly for any of our members, especially over the holiday season, we do talk about this quite a bit. But I think, I don't know what the number is, but I think it's 6 or 7 different strategies that we have for leveraging that technology, for leveraging the gift card technology. Primarily as a tool, like you just mentioned, to help stimulate renewals and upgrades, but also we have some systems in place to leverage it very effectively to create referrals. And the upside on gift cards in this particular format is, number one, it's what people are used to, right? They're used to getting a gift card like this. But also, there is, frankly, a good amount of breakage. You know, so if you do, you know, let's say, you know, $3,000 in gift card sales over a month, you know, the likelihood of redeeming maybe half of them is pretty good, you know?
Yeah. So again,
you do have a little bit of that, which is, you know, useful. You know?
Well, you know, yeah, I do. No, you're right. Actually, breakage in the gift card industry is one of the, you know, benefits of providing gift cards is that, you know, it's not uncommon for 25, 30, 35% of the cards to actually never be used. You know, so you've captured that revenue, but now you don't have to deliver on it. And in a retail space or like a restaurant space, that's great because now you're no longer really providing that. You no longer have that cost. But,
you don't have the cost, yeah.
You know, for martial arts studios, you do capture the money, but, you know, you really do want them to come in and get signed up. But Toby's right, you know, their breakage is a big thing, and it's a huge revenue generator for, you know, when you have a gift card. It's very real and happens all the time.
Yeah, and when we're looking at, again, we'll walk through all these strategies specifically with our members, but there are, again, I think it's 6 or 7, I can't remember, but sort of unique processes that we move people through to help with this, and the gift card technology just helps to escalate that. And you're absolutely right. From a referral standpoint, we want them all to show up. There are cases where, for retail items and things like that, you know, the breakage is useful. But anyway, so, you know, I think that's pretty thorough. I guess just as kind of a quick, you know, synopsis of what we talked about, the biggest challenge that the martial arts schools have in this type of a system, meaning getting paid for what you're going to deliver, is when you're running credit cards or ACHs, the process in and of itself has enough middlemen that you're paying for, right? And what we've kind of done is kind of negotiate and work directly with, you know, the processor. And have figured out how to get the rates really as humanly low as you can get them, right?
Right.
And literally anybody who wants to save an extra $500 to a couple thousand bucks this year, you know, or more, all you have to do is go to napmavaluebundle.com, send Jeff your statement, and we'll figure out how to find money for you, right?
Right.
So, I mean, it's literally as seamless as that. The component of it is that the solutions that we created in this process solve exactly the problems that martial arts schools have. And they're unique to our industry to some extent. You know, if you're an ice cream store or if you're a clothing store, you know, you mostly, if you're running, you know, $2,000 a day in transactions, mostly you're not going to have to worry about doing a $20,000 transaction, right? So again, the high ticket items, the gift card process is sort of that risk management process. All of these are specifically constructed for a martial arts school, and frankly, for a martial arts school that wants to perform at a very high level.
Yeah.
You know, if you're operating, you know, as maybe a health club, and you're charging $49 a month, and you do month-to-month agreements, you're never going to do a paid in full, you're never going to take a big, well, maybe the high transaction, you know, the high ticket item doesn't appeal to you very much, but certainly the other pieces of it do, you know. So I guess just to kind of, you know, encapsulate everything, your action step really should be, number one is just to kind of, you know, consider and think through with the current, you know, your current solution, and send Jeff over your statement, and there's just, you know, so far it's 100% where he's found money for you, you know. So, I mean, there's just absolutely no risk involved in that. It takes, you know, 10 minutes to send a fax, so, you know, not a big deal. Jeff, is there anything else that we might mention before I, you know, before we ring off, and lest I forget it?
You know, not to take up too much more time, but, and we, you know, I'll go through this with anybody that kind of reaches out and gives us a call, but there is, you know, PCI compliance, which is payment card industry compliance. It's a set of beta security standards. And basically, you as the business owner, you have to make sure that you're protecting the cardholder data that you process. And it's a set of standards set up by Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and Discover. And if you're not compliant and there is a breach, there's quite a few fines and penalties, not from us, the processor, but actually from Visa and MasterCard. And PCI compliance is an important thing that you need to be made aware of, and you need to ensure that you're compliant. A lot of processors will charge you a fee to be compliant, but they don't actually ensure that you are. So just as a mental note, whether if you speak with me or you speak to your current processor, I will put that at the top of the list of, you know, inquiring, you know, what is your PCI compliance process? Am I compliant? How do I get compliant? Because it is important and it is mandatory.
Yeah, that's a big deal, by the way, and I did not mention that, but certainly should have. The, you know, we deal with that at a pretty high level with almost everything that we do, especially through online payment collection. You know, anytime you're collecting a payment online, you know, the SSL certificates and, you know, all sorts of things like that have to come into play. Many schools aren't accepting payments online most, you know, in many cases, although many of our members and many folks who are kind of in our circle, we do have a solution for that for them. But you're absolutely right. The PCI compliance part of it, it's one of those things where it's not a big deal until it's a big deal, and then it's a very big deal. You know, the penalty for not being compliant is pretty dramatic. And again, you followed all this for them. So it's not, you know, it's something that you do have to be aware of. If your current provider or whatever is, you know, not level 1 PCI or whatever the case is, if they're not, you know, if they're not doing what they need to do with this, which many aren't, frankly, you have to be cautious of that. It's something that, you know, you're liable for whether you kind of know it or not.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty thorough, you know, sort of encapsulation. So, again, I think the action step that we would want every school owner to take, and again, there's absolutely no risk involved in any of this. Jeff's folks, they're nice people, you know, they're not going to hound you, and they're not going to, you know, show up on your doorstep and any of that. They're just going to take a look at your statement, and they're going to walk you through the statement and say, okay, you're paying this amount for this amount for that.
Yeah.
Here's what we can do. By the way, we can send you the free terminal. We'll walk you through how to set it up. You know, we'll get you the software application so you can accept payments when you're out in the field. You know, they're just going to walk you through all that stuff. And again, so far at the rate of 100%, they've been able to find money for you, you know, save you money.
Right.
And they're putting you into a solution where we're going to help manage the process with high tickets. We're going to make sure the chargeback thing doesn't come to haunt you at high of a frequency. And it's sort of like you're buying the car that really is going to serve you the best.
Yeah.
And by the way, you're saving money on it at the same time. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, it really is. It's a better solution. at a better price with great customer service. I mean, that's, you know, we specifically have this set up for martial arts studios, which is unique. I don't know anybody else that's doing it like us. So it really is a special program. So I you know, just give us a call or send us a statement. We can just have a conversation and see if it makes sense for you.
Absolutely. Again, so let's just go to NAPMAValueBundle.com, NAPMAValueBundle.com, and I'll include the link and everything in the transcriptions of all this as well. But that's the easiest way to just have them take a look and see what you know, see whether they can save you money. And in most cases, we know they can. So
yeah.
Happy travels.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff, thanks again so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And everybody, thanks for listening. I'm sure we've given you some things to think about. Take some time to go visit NAPMAValueBundle.com, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody.